He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Thursday evening by Silver Screen's newest writer, Silver Screen & Roll's newest, not a writer for the Silver Screen. That's a very different position. But the Silver Screen & Roll's newest writer, Raj Sapalu. Raj, how you holding up, bud? You yeah, working you too hard there? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I've, you know, had to dust some of this rust off. It's been a while since I've spoken through a microphone. But no, it's been a crazy fun week. And the team's been good too. I heard you and Harrison kind of speaking about that. The vibe is good around everybody, and I'm feeling good. A little tired for sure, but you know, we got another one tonight. I think that finally ends the huge 6 games in 8 days thing that we were going through, and I think it slows down a little bit next week.
It was a smart move by Vox and by Harrison and Jacob to hire you on a game-by-game basis, or you have to write after every game during the busiest time of the Lakers' year, really getting their money's worth from you this first
yes.
week. That was solid business by everybody over Vox. But no, I'm thrilled for you, you know, and you even got to go cover a game. You know, like, did you have to wear a seatbelt? Did they give you a seatbelt to wear there so that you like don't levitate up into the rafters? Like, how'd that go?
It's so funny because you could totally tell that everyone else is kind of in this, you know, mode of, oh, we got to do this again. And I have like the widest eyes, and everyone I talk to, I just like, man, this is, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm just going, this is freaking incredible. And they're like, like, man, the food's cold. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even eat. Like, I was just so excited. I didn't even like get any food from the media food room. No, it was an incredible experience. And, you know, being able to ask questions to JJ, and I got a question to Dorian. I was sitting there in front of Luca, and I just did not, you know, get a question into him. But no, it was an awesome experience. Excited to go again, you know, soon. But yeah, no, that was really cool and a dream come true. And just like all of us, when you fulfill that, the goalpost moves. This is how life works. But I could tell that, you know, a lot of people have kind of, you know, in that space, Anthony, we talk about this all the time. It's just become a job for a lot of the people there. And it was,
yeah.
And they were like, and you know, some people were like, I'm glad you're here to kind of remind me how cool this is. And I'm like, I have to remind you how cool. Like, they're like, yeah, but like, you know, and so yeah. It's,
well, you know, I mean, like you think about it, people get like calloused to everything that they do, right? Like, mm-hmm. if not, those people that I saw this one job the other day. Apparently, people who do this, at least at the time of the video, were getting like $130,000 a year.
Okay,
to climb hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet up into the air and change mm-hmm. a light bulb on these like really high poles.
Oh yes,
and then I've climb back down, right? And like the fact that those people eventually get used to that job,
right?
She didn't say that like everybody eventually gets used to like their job. It is fun to go to those games. It is fun to, you know, and it is a pinch me moment. Like, just wait till your first paycheck comes in too, where you're like, yeah. Jesus, really? They're like, all right. I could imagine you were like the world's worst negotiator too. They're like, what are you looking to make? $3.
Right.
but yeah, no, I'm really proud of you. Your first couple of pieces have been fantastic. We'll plug those at the end of the show as well. But yeah, those questions about like Jackson Hayes and
yeah.
the vertical threats, and you could tell that JJ really kind of got excited about getting to answer such a nerdy question. So I think you're going to be good in that space. Like, I think that's going to be something that the Lakers are going to enjoy having you around.
Yeah, you know, I saw the love online. I, you know, couldn't respond to everybody, and I'll definitely do my thank yous, but wanted to do this here. I wanted to thank you, Anthony. I mean, this doesn't happen without all our conversations after, and, you know, all the stuff we, you know, we go through. And, yeah, 2-3 in the morning, your time, sometimes 4, where I'm just kind of pegging you with questions. And yeah, just again, you spoke about how people get tired of it, and I understand, you know, that situation, but. No, I just feel like a lot of people in my age bracket, especially, like, they just don't have something that they're really passionate about. So for one, just I'm grateful that I have something and I have an outlet to flex that creative muscle. And that's just, it's a really cool, you know, experience. And it was cool seeing like a question I asked spark conversation. Like, that was amazing to see. And, you know, being in the room there and getting to, you know, answer. I was a little nervous. I was like, I'm not sure how he'll answer this. Because they're like, last question. I was like, oh, okay. Then you know, I got to ask it, you know, right?
Yeah.
This one was Mike Budenholzer, which, like, he has this look on his face that's like a consistent.
The beginning of the video.
Just an absolute confusion. I was like, what did I say? Like, I felt like those words came out correctly. But he just
had to look like. But he always looks like that, though, right? Like,
I know,
Mike Budenholzer. Always looks like he forgot where he parked his car.
Right. Like, but it's different when he's looking at your face going, I was like, oh, did I say something wrong? But then he answered the question really well. So that
have you seen all of the Mike Budenholzer looks like no. jokes and tweets and stuff like that? Mm-mm. Like the one I just said, I kind of came up with on the spot, but there's one where it's like Mike Budenholzer always looks like he made way too big a bet. You know, and he made a bet that he absolutely cannot afford to lose. Right. Like it's just, there's so many,
it's like he hasn't seen sunlight in 3 years and he just pulled about.
Mike Budenholzer looks like he just accidentally hit reply all. Like it's just
it's so like internet history got released to like everybody. Yeah.
It was funny because I believe that was the first clip, right, that you threw up there, the first question you asked in that spot.
Yeah.
Just laughing, like, what are the chances that your first question is going to be to a guy who looks at you like,
right, yeah, like I was speaking another language. I was like, man, I feel like those words came out pretty well, but
he's also had the season from hell.
That's like, true.
Mike Budenholzer looks like he's watching the Phoenix Sun season. it was awesome to see it. And yeah, I was thrilled to see the outpouring of love and support. There's a lot of people pulling for you, man. We've been saying this to you for a while now, and it's been cool to watch that kind of you know, coalesce in the way that it did online and I'm sure in person. Like, I bet there are people who were happy to see you there in the building as well. So
ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Just keep killing it, man. Like that's all that really matters here is that like you build on that momentum, and I know you will.
The funniest part was like people from high school reaching out and go, "Hey, Raj, like, I don't know if you remember me, but
yeah,
you know, we played on." And I was like, "Man, of course I remember you." You know, but no, that was like one of the coolest things. People like, "I heard your voice," and I was like, "Oh, I know that voice." I'm like, "Really? Like you heard that voice?" They're like, "Yeah, it's on Spectrum." I was like, "All right, well, cool."
Yeah, it's people like from high school always forget, like, dude, I in my case, it's been a little bit longer than in yours, but like, I've had some people reach out and they're like, I haven't had anybody ask like if I remember them,
right,
especially if I played with them. But actually, one of my old teammates, his name is also Raj, and I've had to add his last name to the to text messages because I've accidentally texted him thinking he was you. But anyway, yeah, it's absolutely fun to watch that, and also really cool to pop on there and see the writing as strong as it was too. And I've had some conversations with people behind the scenes, and I've heard that it's your actual, like, the editing process has been super easy. It's been super clean. So, and that, like, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, I know you are always going to put in the work to do it. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, kids will reach out and ask, what does it take to make it in this industry? What did you do? What were the steps that you took? And it's like, honestly, the most important step is just to fucking work.
Yeah.
And work and work and work. And you know, a lot of times it's thankless work at first, and it's probably thankless work for the majority of that time while you're building up your audience. And then you turn around and you look at where you currently sit, in your case, literally physically sat in the arena, and you're like, huh, all right, all that shit was worth it.
Yeah. It's a feeling I hope everyone gets to feel at some point, you know, and it just, you know, it takes longer than you think, but the payoff is, you know, this is not the pinnacle obviously, but just for myself, that was a goal that I had. Yeah, to your point, I know you get probably a lot of this too, where people ask, like, you know, and I'll click their account and be like, account created 2025 January, and be like, hey Raj, I'm trying to get in, you know, to the industry. Like, what do I do? And like, oh, I'm like, oh man, well, you know, this is a process that you're really in the infant stages of, but you know, like, but yeah, it's just it was really.
I normally tell people don't go into accounting, go into banking, do this as a hobby. All right, let's go ahead and try to segue awkwardly off of that. I guess the way I'll segue is, you know, Raj, how thankful are you that you don't have to watch this game in person? This specific game where the Lakers, I had at one point the injury report up, and here we go. So considered doubtful, and I'm guessing these players are not going to play. If we haven't actually gotten their updates yet, Dorian Finney-Smith and Jared Vanderbilt are both considered doubtful. DFS is dealing with his left ankle injury that has been kind of nagging him all year. I thought it was the right one, but whatever it is, Jared Vanderbilt apparently has a right groin strain. That one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know to what extent all of these things are real, to be completely honest. I don't want to get the Lakers in trouble per se, but anyway, Luka is out. Rui out with a right ankle sprain. We've actually seen him kind of bump that ankle a few times. It's the second night of a back-to-back. Sure. I understand him not playing. Rui continues to be out. I'm going to, maybe while you're talking, kind of break down or try to find an update on him if we've gotten one. And then LeBron Kleba and Austin Reeves is out in this one. Again, on that second night of a back-to-back, he apparently is dealing with a right ankle sprain as well. I wish the Lakers were allowed to just be like,
it's second night of a back-to-back. Yeah, Adam Silver, how dare you? Like, guys are not playing tonight.
For all of those names that I listed, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jared Vanderbilt, Luka Doncic, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, Maxi Kleba, Austin Reeves are all out with six game in 8 nights.
Like, just put the month of March, like March.
Yeah. Like, you know, schedule is the reason that they're all out. By the way, like this probably speaks to the vibes that we've been talking about here surrounding this team. How little I cared that all of these guys were out. I mean, it was just kind of like, okay. I think I have a lot of confidence that they'll make up for, you know, this game at some point over the course of the next, whatever it is, 13 after tonight.
Yeah. I tweeted this before the Denver game in Denver, where we had a similar injury report. You know, I was like, these are sometimes the best games, especially when you have a culture, I think, that the Lakers have built where they all play hard, Anthony, you know, and I don't really have to worry about that. And the kind of guys we have at the end of the bench are really different than we have had it the last few years, where, you know, I think there'll be serviceable. Milwaukee's going through their worst stretch. They just had another players only meeting, but the only players allowed were Giannis and Dame. And I guess Chris Haynes was entered in there as well. But Giannis and Dame had their players only meeting. So this is a team that's kind of in some turmoil. I think the Lakers can steal one. Like, I think this is a team that's been playing bad. Giannis just had a really bad game in Golden State. So, you know, maybe he kind of comes a little bit more rejuvenated. But Dalton Connect has shown he can put up 30 shots in a game and he can get hot. Gabe Vincent, I think, is playing. Jackson Hayes, you just mentioned, I believe, is also playing. And so we'll see if they can kind of make it, you know, make it a game. And at the end, you can kind of steal one. Dame also is doubtful, right? I think Dame might also not play. So I think he was also on their injury report. He got moved to, I think he was doubtful to questionable. I don't know how what the line is, the delineation of that. But I would expect him maybe to miss this one. And the Lakers have a chance. And the Bucks play a really strange offense. And they're a very conservative type of defense. So I think Dalton's going to be able to get some looks against them tonight and, you know, maybe, you know, keep this close and give them a chance to win at the end, like in Denver.
Breaking news here from J.J. Redick. He is telling reporters that there's a chance that he is, quote, hopeful that Rui Hachimura and LeBron James will make their returns to the court on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say this, and I've kind of hinted at here, had it here on the show a bunch. There has been a lot of optimism swirling around Rui that we would get this kind of an update on him soon, that he would be available relatively soon. I had heard going into this week that it would happen sometime this week. Turns out it's happening on literally the last day of the week, but I'll take it. I will take it nonetheless. The one that surprises me is LeBron. LeBron potentially returning. Look, finding information on LeBron's injuries is probably a little bit less difficult than like the nuclear codes. It's just that information is right. Really tough to come by. You know, it's like impossible to come by until Rich Paul just like says it, you know,
it's like three SUV vans protecting it. Like there's just, you're not getting through.
It's like, it is, you know, it's behind, it's in a safe,
right.
At the bottom of the ocean.
It's like a doctor's note, like, you know, in a locker. Like
sharks swimming specifically around, having been trained to swim specifically around that safe. It is just, normally, it's really difficult to come by that. And even on those terms, I had essentially been hearing, next couple of weeks, we'll probably hear a little bit more about LeBron over the weekend. The fact that he might be able to play, and Raj, the Lakers might have their full rotation, their full team available on Saturday, potentially. So that's, that's pretty great news. That's incredible.
I think they can smell the two seed. And there was a point a few games ago where, you know, everything was falling off because of the injuries that I think they fell to third or fourth. And I think there was some evaluation there of, can we even catch the two seed? Is it worth it? Or should we just let all these dudes take their time to come back and we just enter the playoffs healthy? But I think Denver falling with the injuries they've had, you know, to their stars, Memphis falling as well, strangely, even though they have their guys. Houston obviously has won 8 in a row, but they lost Amon Thompson, I think, for a while, so they'll be shorthanded as well. I think the Lakers can smell a two seed, and I think that's one of the reasons. I'm not saying LeBron wasn't hurt, but I think there's some motivation to have him back, maybe not at 100%, just to come back and have some time also to build. But Luka, this is a different, so it's funny, as LeBron's coming back, this is a different Luka Doncic too, right? He is like, he is moving out of gear.
You see how thin he is? Like, you seen those, like, those side-by-side pictures of his first game with the Lakers? Yeah. I know people have noticed. He has ditched the undershirt. He's letting those guns fly, man. Like, he's, like, he got a fresh haircut for the other game, this last game, too. It was okay. He's been eating at Cava. He's been, like having those he's gone gluten-free with his beer. Yeah. He looks incredible. Looks awesome.
Do you think there was like some, you know, Devin Booker workout routine where he's like, no, I just got to get in shape? Because on Sunday, when I saw him play against the Suns, Anthony, I was like telling people, he doesn't look out of shape. Like, he looks good. But like, yeah, no, he's been a lot better. The first game he was pretty hefty, but now like he's really improved. And yeah, this is a different Luka. He's running on a different gear than he was when LeBron, you know, went out with his groin injury in Boston. So yeah, we'll have our full complement hopefully on Saturday, even if it's after that on the road trip. Maybe they give him a few more days to also get, you know, back right. But yeah, Anthony, I think they can smell a 2 seed, and if you can have home court from everyone except Oklahoma City, I think they're going to go for that. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of pushing these guys back. One interesting thing for me is, does Rui come back and start? I was on the start Rui train for a while, and I think I boarded the Dorian kind of transit. That's flown past me. So that'll be interesting kind of dynamic as well. But yeah, it'll be great to have the full complement of guys back against a Chicago team.
Yeah. Poor Chicago. I mean, like, they don't care. They would rather lose and like fall down the standings. Yeah. If they've been trying to, they just can't because the East sucks so much. But like,
yeah, they're in playing conversations. There's just, it's so dumb. It's just,
but yeah, like I, yeah, as far as like the Rui thing, honestly, like it's breaking my brain that they might have their full rotation available. And actually, that's kind of sort of exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight, in that there haven't been very many games that the Lakers have had their full rotation. You know, not just, you know, since the Luka trade, but for the entirety of the season. And you've had, I would say, probably 4 different Lakers teams. The first version that we saw out there, where it was D'Lo and Austin starting side by side, and they were pretty meh. Like, watching that team was just not very fun. And then you had Max Christie inserted into the starting lineup for D'Angelo Russell, and I think that was the first sign that the Lakers were kind of turning a corner, or what like we saw a different ceiling with that group. Then the Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell for Dorian Finney-Smith, and their defense became really, really bleeping good. So that's team number 3. Then they trade for this Luka guy.
That's like team 8. That's like, you got to skip some numbers. Like there's some iterations that go on. Like, it's like team 8 when you go get Luka.
Well, I guess like to that point, the Lakers had a brief look at a post Anthony Davis, not that they were planning for it, not that it was on purpose, but they had that brief look at the team without AD. So I guess you can maybe call that team 5, because that was the first time that JJ finally got to kind of coach the team exactly how he wanted to coach them. And then they got the player who was exactly the kind of player who I mean, he's exactly the kind of player every coach, except for maybe Jason Kidd, every coach would want to coach. And yeah, you want to call it team 8 for the sake of how many steps forward the Lakers have taken since. But my point here is that this is kind of a throwback team, not in playing style, not in approach or anything like that, because they're shooting 53s a game. I think they're kind of a throwback team to my childhood, where none of these analytics were around. Because you can't analytically analyze this team right now. There isn't a big enough sample size on almost any of these things. So you can't definitively say really anything stat-based about this Lakers team. And it's kind of nice that we all basically have to use the eye test. It's a throwback to, this is a straight barbershop team where everybody has their opinions on them. Everybody has an idea of what they think they're kind of capable of. And nobody outside of Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, because they're always wrong, but outside of those guys, you could say almost anything about this team on the in terms of ceiling.
Yeah.
And I think make a viable point that makes a lot of sense. I really enjoyed like analyzing this team in this way, because I got kind of sick of the analytics, I'm not going to lie.
It's so fun. And to your point, our starting shooting guard the last 2 games is Jordan Goodwin, like the Lakers two-way guy. So you talk about guy with no numbers attached to him or no analytics that can really analyze what he's doing. And I got the pleasure of watching him, obviously, with South Bay covering it for Clutch Points. And I was like, this guy's like this guy gets a ton of steals. And I was saying, like, he's going to have a huge, you know, impact on that end. And he's already had, like, games of four steals and above. And the Lakers are kind of just finding ways to be impactful. I think the place you can look is Luka, you know, and Jackson Hayes' relationship and his pairing with the different guys. He and Austin, I heard you and Harrison kind of have the Austin Reeves all-star conversation, which put a smile on my face. You know, I feel like Austin would have made it if the Lakers were the two seed, but it's a conversation for another day. But Luke and Austin's pairing is starting to really rise and go up the incline. It's been cool to just watch this team transform, I guess. I think LeBron going out, obviously you didn't want to lose LeBron, Anthony, but I think, like, to your point where you can't really judge this team, you know, in terms of the numbers, I think LeBron going out helped, like, it just helped balance like Luka and have him just not think too much. And I think you're starting to see the fruits of that, where now Luka's pretty much in full control. This is like Dallas Luka. Tim Legler on the broadcast kept mentioning, like, this is Dallas Luka that the Lakers have acquired now. And he was pretty good before too, but 21 points in the first quarter. You could just tell there's a swagger that's back. There's a confidence that has returned. Austin had like 20 and whatever in their last game. And that's like a bad game from him because he was averaging around 30. The team, it's tough to evaluate in terms of the analytics and the numbers, but they're creating a ton of open shots. Team looks freaking unguardable. You listen to Luka talk after the game. He's like, yeah, it's easy. I just draw two defenders and we play out of that. And he says it's so simple, and you watch it. It's just, yeah, it's beautiful to watch him kind of get comfortable here. And I don't know what the numbers say. We're going to have to look. This is going to be team 11, I feel like, when LeBron comes back, because this is a different Luka Doncic. This is also a different Austin Reeves, right? No longer, you know, being hurt by the calf issue. The hierarchy with the team feels like it's been figured out. I think Koloko has kind of earned that backup center spot. JJ is playing Koloko. Like, I'm excited about that. Koloko's earned kind of that backup center. People are, you know, reaching out to me going, he's trash and he's great. He's trash and he's great. Like, backup center. Like, there's expectations that need to be.
He's a two-way center.
Yes. Yes.
Christian Koloko is the human exemplification of we back. what was the hat that we wanted to make? We back. We so back.
Right.
Over. Oh, it's Jover. It's over. We so back. It's over. We so back. And that's just Christian Koloko playing basketball.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I don't hate analytics, to be clear. It's just information, right? I think people sometimes get carried away with them. I think you need to pass an IQ test to use Basketball Reference. But I, for the most part, I think the whole distaste for analytics is kind of misplaced, because it takes all of 5 seconds to take a look at who was good at what stats and based on that, figure out which stats kind of tell the right story or which combination of stats tell the right story. Where I start kind of dozing off is when I start seeing people say, well, so-and-so's LeBron is here, so therefore he is this. And so-and-so's LeBron is not there, so therefore he sucks. And it's like,
it's context necessary.
You know, I'm old enough to remember PER. And I remember when PER was the end all be all statistically. And then we started to realize, dang, Al Jefferson must be a god based on PER.
Yeah.
And and my thing with I guess Damian Lillard is not playing, as you mentioned earlier, Ross. Mm-hmm. My thing with stats and analytics is, and it's, I think, one of the most exciting aspects to it all, is that it is this evolving thing. It's this living, breathing concept that takes steps forward and takes steps backward, and you can kind of watch the way that the holes that need to be filled in it and the holes that cannot be filled in it, something like momentum or the hot hand theory or something like those concepts, which we know are real, but analytics heavy people will say, nope, absolutely not. as it gets shoved into lockers by the people who actually played the sport.
Imagine going to like a pickup game and going, you know what? Like, there's no such thing as a hot hand.
Imagine
like,
telling that to Kobe as he's scoring his 81st point. Hey, man, you didn't have it going tonight. You were always meant to knock down those shots.
Those areas were just really preferable for you. Like, there was, yeah, you were just not hot. Yeah, you didn't have a good game.
So, but like, I think for whatever reason, this almost dogmatic conversation came about where you have the former players on one side of it and you have the nerds on the other side of it. And both sides were equally condescending towards each other about analytics and experience. And these takes are flying back and forth that aren't even about basketball, but about the people who feel a certain way about the other people who are on the other side of the spectrum of them on this conversation. And it just became a whole bunch of noise and became really stupid. And what I'm really excited about is that with this Lakers team, none of that shit matters. Exit all. No.
Right.
Just watch this team. Watch this team. Let me know what you think. I think that's really refreshing. I love it.
What's funny is, like you were mentioning, I guess, the separation between players and, you know, nerds and just, you know, numbers. People are really going into numbers and people on the other side. Anthony, I think this is how Luka Doncic gets traded. Like, I'm not even – like, this is how Luka Doncic gets traded.
We've talked about this on Slack a ton.
Yeah. Like, it's just you overthink and you overanalyze and you trust a certain part of data, which may be correct, right? Our defense actually is the reason we got to the finals. And that can be an actual thing you pitch. And that can be correct in some, like, some number can tell you you're right there.
Yeah.
But in the real world, and this is where I just lose any sense of logic here, any person that you could talk to that covers basketball goes, you're an idiot. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're gonna trade Luka Doncic away to improve your defense, like, for a guy who's averaging, you know, 34 or whatever he was last year. And I think that's what this part of the conversation is, and that's what's so awesome. Like, Luka and LeBron, you can dive into the numbers, the pairing, it's a plus, whatever, it's okay. But Laker fans watching it are going, holy like, just every single minute. And yeah, when you're in the building, like, there's a way that Luka's just magical, Anthony. I was there watching it, and it's my first time watching Luka in person, going, how do you watch this and go, like, yeah, that's the guy we don't need? Like, that's insane. But to your point, I think when you're following a set of numbers and standards that you have, you can come to that conclusion and go, yeah, we're done with this. The 34 points actually aren't real because this number says this.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's making your point.
Well, I think the bigger thing, like, to build on that point, the bigger thing is just becoming too dogmatic about any sensibilities that you have in basketball. Right. It's basketball.